Daily Drive is brought to you by Outsell, your brand on AI. Supercharge your database. Bring more value and grow a loyal customer base through predictive marketing. Learn more at outsell.com.
Happy New Year and welcome to Daily Drive. I'm Steve Smith with Automotive News. It's Thursday, January 7th. The movement of goods is undergoing massive disruption. Accelerated by the pandemic and explosive growth in e-commerce, first mile, middle mile, or last mile, it doesn't matter. Companies operating throughout the value chain of moving things from one place to another are looking for ways to make deliveries faster, cleaner, cheaper, and even safer for the people making those deliveries. The foundation for this massive disruption are the vehicles powering deliveries. And according to Daryl Adams, president and CEO of the Shift Group, formerly Spartan Motors, the growth of e-commerce will result in more trips, more utilization, more repairs, and more replacement of those vehicles. To prepare for that future, the company has over the last year divested its emergency response business, rebranded itself, and shifted its corporate headquarters to Novi, Michigan as part of its strategy to tap into the automotive talent pool based in the Detroit area. From a product perspective, the company is also driving innovation that, among other things, makes stops more efficient, safer, and ergonomically healthier for the drivers. For example, automated vehicle doors that open and close, and flashers that automatically turn on when its vehicles are parked. What else is the company doing to enable the future movement of goods? What does the deployment and scaling of connected, electrified, and autonomous technologies on the commercial side mean for the future movement of people? We've reached Shift Group President and CEO Daryl Adams at the company's new headquarters in Novi, Michigan. Daryl, thanks for joining me today on Daily Drive. How are you?
Doing very well, Steve. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, and Happy New Year as well to 2021. Shift Group has been on an exciting mission over the last year or so. Can you talk to us about what is going on with the company? What's the latest news with Shift Group?
Yeah, Steve, it has been exciting, and I think it started probably in the summer of 2019. When we, you know, approached the board and asked if it would be okay if we put our emergency response business on the market, back in 18, we started seeing the trends in e-commerce and the demand for delivery vehicles starting to increase. And the emergency response business was, how the company was founded, but at the time wasn't profitable. It was a difficult environment, obviously with tax dollars in states and cities declining. So we felt it was a needed change for the company. It gave us the management team a lot more time to focus on what was exciting and the demand for e-commerce vehicles and parcel delivery. So the board approved us to move forward. And we did close that deal in February of 20. And now we have a new name called the Shift Group and a new location. And, you know, still the if you will, the good bones of the company are still there, the Fleet Vehicle and Service Division, and then our specialty chassis. And the focus is really on fleet and the e-commerce and parcel delivery is where we're seeing the demand just surged, as you can imagine. The timing was pretty good to divest our ER division. We moved right into COVID right after that, and then managing through that and the e-commerce growth, which is very interesting to see the numbers and watch what's happening. I mean, we've seen the increase in B2C. Increase significantly versus B2B. And what that means is B2B, they would use the larger type class 4 and 5 trucks. We're seeing the trends move down into class 2 and 3 because they're making more stops to consumers' houses. You know, the bigger trucks would go to the brick-and-mortar stores and drop off big boxes and packages, and then somebody would, you know, go to the store and walk out with a bag. Well, today, that bag is a van delivering from a distribution center to someone's address. So it's a trend we see continuing to move forward. We see parcel volumes increasing significantly due to COVID, but we see it over the next, 5 years, if you will, on a consistent 7%+ increase, for at least the next 5 years. And we think that's going to drive growth in our delivery fleet vehicles, but maybe, somewhere between 9 to 10, 11%, depending on obviously how it all goes and what remains after COVID. But we're seeing a significant increase, and it's really nice to be able to have the management team focus on what we consider to be a more profitable business than the ER business we divested.
As a vehicle manufacturer, and when you talk about the growth and you talk about the boom in e-commerce and last mile delivery, and you look at the vehicles that you're building, how are you harnessing those trends? What are you doing around your products to take advantage of this explosive growth in last mile delivery and e-commerce?
Yeah, it's a very good question. We have to stay as innovative as our customers are. We have to be more innovative. They're looking for, if you will, the next mousetrap, right? What's going to help them be more efficient at each stop? So we just launched in 19 at the NTEA truck show is our new Velocity vehicle, which will go on a Class 2 or Class 3 cutaway. And if I just stop there and go back for a minute, in 18 when the tariffs activity was going on, there was a little bit of a shortage in chassis from Freightliner and Detroit Custom Chassis for the Class 4 and 5 walk-in vans. So we were harnessed a little bit and couldn't produce. So I energized the team to figure out a solution. And what we did is we went to Ford, to Mercedes, and to FCA and talked to them about a Class 2 and Class 3 cutaway on their Euro cargo vans. So in 2019, we developed the vehicle, rolled it out. We call that our Velocity. So we can build the Velocity on a Class 2 Ford Transit, a Class 3 Ford Transit, a Sprinter Class 3, and then pretty soon we'll be ready to build it on a ProMaster Class 2. That gives us four more chassis to build on. So we have a total of six now. And we can build purpose-built walk-in vans. That's very helpful because we have to be able to supply, as being a long-time automotive executive, I like to be able to, call the Shift Group as a one-stop shop. So if a customer's come to us, we're building vehicles in Class 1 space all the way up to Class 7 space for the same customers, if you will, over time. So they trust us. We've been in this business 40-plus years delivering USPS type vehicles. So when we talk about what's keeping us in the front and what's, what do we lead with, we have a work-driven design where we sit with our customers, understand their needs, understand their pinch points, if you will, and we develop solutions for them. So this new Velocity vehicle, we have added technology into that vehicle that when the vehicle gets in the park, the bulkhead door is automatic. It opens. So the driver doesn't have to take a half a second or a second to open it. Once he gets in, finds the package he needs, he passes through that door, it locks behind him automatically, the side door opens, he walks out, it closes automatically. So we're eliminating, if you will, four touches on a door on the way out and two to four touches on the way back in. And so this is all automated. And imagine the seconds per stop. And then how many stops per day, how many stops per month, per year, across the country for each of our customers. So they're looking to us to have innovation in the efficiency part of it. And we're working on a number of other things, if you will, in the back of the vehicle. How do they load them? How do they unload the packages? How do we make it more efficient for the driver when he walks into that cargo space? There's technology out there, too, called robots and drones and things that we continue to stay current with, as well as EV. and autonomy. So I'm not sure we're going to talk about that later, but we have to stay current with the same technology that's happening in the automotive space so that we can continue to be a leader to our customers in the delivery space.
Yeah, let's continue with the innovation, and let's definitely talk about electrified, and let's talk about autonomous. I want to talk a little bit about drone incorporation into that, you know, from the truck to the front door as well. Before we do, you talk about minutes, and you talk about how all of those minutes and seconds add up in reducing touch points. Do you have an estimate, you know, out of curiosity, how much that might add up to in a given year, in a given month, in U.S. package delivery? Is that, you know, I don't know, is it 200 hours? Is it 500 hours? Any point of view or any estimate?
I think, Steve, you know, like any good executive, you take what your team gives you, and because they're pretty biased, and they think it's going to be a very popular product to offer to the customers, with a grain of salt, right? I mean, you trust them. But I think you also have to wait and let your customers give you some feedback. So the vehicle, we're starting to build, I believe first chassis will be in March. So it's a brand new vehicle. We have our tests. We believe it's somewhere between 15 to 25 seconds per stop, depending on the person, depending on is it the beginning of the day or is it the end of the day, right? Because they at the beginning of the day, they're moving pretty quick. Like any employee near the end of the day, they could be getting tired, making all the stops, running up to the front doors. So we gave it a range of that. And if you look at that over time, and the problem is that the stops continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And each route is different. So it's going to take a little bit of time to get the feedback from the customers, but we think it's somewhere between 15 and 20 seconds a stop.
And to your point, right, I think that will certainly add up as stops continue to grow. And certainly it's not only an efficiency. I think to your other point, there's probably a talent piece in there in terms of worker safety, worker fatigue, bending down, all of those things. So I think there's a delivery human element to that as well.
Yeah, in our, you know, the data that our engineers come up with is due to the ride-alongs that we do. So we'll build a demo vehicle, we'll put it in the customer's hands, and then we'll ride with them. Try to help them understand the technology so that when they put it into their fleet test, they can explain it. And we give them documents that help the driver understand the new technology so that they can benefit the most from the technology that's in there. Because, you know, they're used to driving the old vehicles, and if they have something new, you have to educate them on why is this different, what do I have to do. So it's as simple as when they put it in park and hit the parking brake, the flashers go on.
Right? Yep.
So there's a lot of LinkedIn technology that is not in the old vehicles. And it's a safety factor to your point, where if you don't have those flashers on, you know, the vehicle could be hit. So there's, you know, we take safety into account, efficiency. We consider the ergonomics, and we blend it into our solutions that we offer to our customers.
We'll be right back with more of my conversation with Daryl Adams, President and CEO of The Shyft Group.
Outsell, your data-fueled, brain-powered brand on AI. Like a moon landing, technology takes us places we couldn't before imagine. And now, mind-reading technology for car dealers. That's Outsell. And it's one giant step into the future. Outsell harnesses the immense power of artificial intelligence, enabling you to have a continuous relationship with thousands of customers throughout the customer journey. In plain speak, Outsell is the first automated lifecycle marketing platform driven by AI. Outsell automatically builds and maintains a relationship with your customers using the most effective channels. When they need you, you're there, with information and offer the solution. Customers demand value. Outsell creates the kind of value prized by your best customers. A relationship that demonstrates your loyalty to them. Loyalty that creates retention. For hundreds of dealerships across the country, Outsell has replaced antiquated marketing efforts with AI-powered predictive marketing. Dealerships aren't adding another expense. They're eliminating what isn't working and replacing it with a superpower. it's time to talk with Outsell about automated lifecycle marketing platform driven by AI and how it will find, create, and nurture your current and future customers. It's time to outsell everyone. Learn more at outsell.com.
So let's turn a little bit to autonomy and electrified. From a broader industry perspective, I would value your point of view on the scaling of electrified and autonomy in the movement of goods. What's the current situation? What's your point of view on the horizon of these technologies scaling in package delivery?
Yeah, it's a very popular topic, not only in our management meetings, but also with our board. We actually have established the EV subcommittee with some of our board members because this is cutting edge, and it's a big move. It's a big bet. And, you know, for a smaller company as the Shift Group, and you know, we like to adapt technology into our products. So early on, currently today, we don't build any of our chassis that we use for e-commerce delivery, right? We buy them from Freightliner, Navistar, mm-hmm. right? Ford DCP, FCA, and Sprinter. So going forward, we're not going to make the chassis in the future. We're going to use the EV chassis suppliers. But with that said, there was a gap in between when the OEMs come out with their EV product. I think the Transit is going to come out next year. Mm-hmm. Our customers wanted some vehicles, and the chassis didn't have EV power systems into them. So we use the word, we're going to bridge the gap. So we would connect with different EV players. The one that we've worked with and have built a number of vehicles is Motive. They're into our Class 4 and 5 delivery vehicles. We have a number of those out there with hundreds of thousands of hours proven. So we're almost like, if you will, in looking at your bio, you might be old enough like me where you understand the E.F. Hutton, right? Where we do it the old-fashioned way. We're not going to be flashy. Because we're not a technology company, we're going to take the technology that's there and put it into our chassis. So, again, with that said, we continue to work with a number of the EV chassis suppliers, the new vehicle suppliers, and the skateboard suppliers, because it is going to come. I think the million-dollar question is, or the multi-million-dollar question is, when? And we want to make sure that when it does come, that we're ready. And that's why we're working with a number of the players. Some of them have gone away. New ones pop up. So we continually evaluate, work with them. We have some EV products in our customers' hands today, different in the Class 2 and 3 space, that they're evaluating. And it's, you know, I guess we don't need to finance a SPAC. Mm-hmm. We just need to find the best solution for our customers. And that's why we continue to evaluate all the players. And, you know, someone asked me before, you know, are you concerned about all the EV startups? And I said, oh, concerned, I don't know if it's the right word. You know, I hope they make it. Because they're spending a lot of money and time. But like new technologies, there's always players that survive and some that don't make it. And that's why we continue to operate and work with a lot of them. I mean, it took Tesla, you know, years before they're at the level they are today. I think maybe 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. And I think people can learn from what Tesla did and maybe shorten up that development cycle. But there's... you know, I'm not sure all these startup EV companies understand the crash testing and the validation builds that you have to do, and you know, all the requirements to get a vehicle on the road. And one thing that, you know, these vehicles that handle delivery and they're stopping, you know, every 100 yards or quarter mile, there's a lot of durability that people don't think about versus a typical passenger car chassis. Durability cycle is significantly higher than your typical vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think all of this stuff, and I'd appreciate your point of view on this, right? When you look at movement of goods and movement of things and the scalability on the commercial side, right? The business case is there on the commercial side. It's a little bit different on the personal vehicle side, right? Do I want to invest in autonomy? Do I want to buy a vehicle with electrified? Am I willing to pay a premium on that? Do I feel safe with the technology, right? And you used the word proven earlier. I'm curious, what is your point of view that says what we're doing on the commercial side, what we're doing on the movement of goods side, how does that translate into proving to consumers that this technology is safe, that this technology is worthwhile for them to invest in it and have it in the vehicles that they might drive or ride in every day?
Yeah, I think, just my personal opinion, that it's going to be more popular in the passenger car space than it will be in the commercial space on the EV side. And here's why. I think at the personal level, it's a choice. You know, there's a number of points to consider, and one of them would be the economics of the vehicle, whether it's, you know, for the environment or you just think it's cool to have a vehicle like that. When you get in a commercial space, so back to the passenger car. That's a choice, and someone's going to spend more money for that vehicle, right? Because it's new and it's new technology, and they're not using it for a business. If we move to the commercial side, there's still a large gap between the price of a ICE chassis or an EV chassis, and then the customers aren't seeing the two lines cross to be a benefit yet because the costs are still high. So there's going to be some dabbling in it. I think that's why it's going to take some time, whether it's 25, maybe 30, you know, 2030 before it becomes popular. There's going to be some out there. But the other part, Steve, we haven't talked about is the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And the grid reliability. I mean, you know, I think everyone heard that in California this summer, they were having rolling blackouts because the wind and the solar couldn't keep up with the power demands.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they, you know, how fast can the infrastructure in our country change to handle this demand? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that is the unknown. We've actually written about that. I've hosted a couple of guests recently on Daily Drive that talk about the charging infrastructure, be it on the commercial side, be it on the passenger side, doesn't matter. It's, you know, I think OEMs have done a terrific job addressing consumer concerns with range and the size of the segments, et cetera, et cetera. You know, maybe some of that is being influenced and informed by the commercial side as well, but the charging piece still is one that needs to be solved for. And to your point, the horizon on that is pretty unknown at this point.
You know, there's something that is not talked about much either, which is once the batteries are not useful anymore, how do you dispose of them?
Mm-hmm.
So there's it's new technology. You know, there's a lot of people working on it. They'll figure it out. It goes back to my, you know, one of the original points was it's coming, but I'm just not sure in what year or what the time frame is. And I think some of these startups will get some vehicles and they, you know, they might be successful. And that's why we're, you know, trying to work with all of them just to make sure that we're ready and that our customers can get the best chassis available underneath the product we build to deliver products.
So let's close with one more question. We're in the new year. Hopefully there are some optimistic signs that 2021 will be better than 2020. What is your outlook for last mile delivery and future movement of goods, you know, this year, next 2 years, 3 years? What from COVID is here to stay?
Yeah, I think we saw the trends moving up, right? So when we look at the next few years on vehicles, we call it e-commerce, parcel delivery, but I think you need to throw in there grocery delivery, right? And even some type of prescription type drugs, which seems to be another bucket people talk about. Mm-hmm. We saw the trends moving up, you know, year over year CAGR rates that were significant, you know, in the 7 to 10. 2020 was a significant increase, and some of the people in the market are saying that it accelerated the growth by 2 to 3 years. Accelerated it, right? So pulled it forward. There's a lot of demand that we're going to have to build in 2021. And what we were getting asked a lot was, well, can you build vehicles today? Well, our backlog is about a 6-month backlog. So even when they figured out it in the summer that they needed new vehicles, we couldn't get chassis or build them fast enough. They wouldn't get them until January. So the peak season was already past. So they're all, they took a deep breath and they're coming back. And we're seeing really nice order intake. We see it continuing. There's a couple things that people don't talk about besides just new vehicles and parcel delivery. So there's also the return side of the parcels. I mean, I'm not sure how your family is, but I sure know my family, you know, order maybe 2 or 3 different sizes of shoes or pants or shirts or blouses just to make sure they get the one that fits, and then they return the other two. So there's parcel movement is what we look at, right? That's both the delivery and the return. And then the vehicles are making more stops because of the growth in e-commerce, and their life is shortening. So the typical class 4 and 5 walk-in van would, in the past, would be a 15-year life. We think that might come down to a, you know, a 11 to 12. And then when some of the cargo vans, the Sprinters and the Transits and the ProMasters, may have been a 7-year life, but we're seeing them maybe into the, you know, 4 or 5-year life because of the duty cycle that they're seeing and the stops they're making. So the replacement cycle, along with the growth, we think is going to be significant over the next number of years for the Shift Group and Utilimaster. So we're pretty bullish on, you know, what 2021 through 25, 26 looks like as this the surge in online ordering and e-commerce continues to grow.
More trips, more utilization, more repair and replacement. That's on the horizon as we continue to grow and consumers continue to use e-commerce and e-procurement or e-commerce and delivery at home of goods and groceries. Daryl, thank you very much for joining me today on Daily Drive. Terrific conversation. Congratulations to you and the entire team at Shift Group on a terrific couple of years, and best of luck with what 2021 and beyond holds.
Steve, thank you, and we appreciate the opportunity.
That's Daily Drive for Thursday, January 7th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And to catch up on all of our episodes of Daily Drive, go to autonews.com/Daily Drive. As always, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.